have first learned these words because they were printed on a wall hanging, a throw pillow, or a bookmark in your grandmother's home, or a church of our childhood. And when we read them casually, we often find comfort in them. But today, we're not reading them casually. Without genuinely listening to the exact words, we fall into rhythm of the refrain, hearing the word blessed again and again, and we feel just that, blessed. When these words are often quoted, Matthew's version is typically referenced, originating from the Sermon on the Mount, which is represented in a more spiritual context. But today, we read Luke's version. If we are really listening, the reality is that those words will trouble us. If we are truly paying attention, these are not words we want to read from a throw pillow every time we sit down on the couch. Instead, they are words that challenge us. They pose hard questions. They compel us to continue becoming those who are living more closely to the kingdom of God. One of the interesting differences between Luke's account of the Beatitudes and Matthew's account of the Beatitudes recalls this teaching as part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. However, Luke's version depicts this as a sermon on the plain. It begins with Luke telling us he came down from them and stood on a level place, a plain. Jesus is not lecturing his disciples from on high like Moses may have done. He's teaching them not from above, but he is teaching them from among them. Jesus is telling his disciples they are blessed because he is with them and among them now. Jesus' teaching in Luke is presented more like a halftime team talk. A halftime huddle with him right in the middle of them. He is saying that even now, even in the pain and suffering of this world, there can be joy. We can be joyful because he is with us. Then Luke states that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. So remember all the people that are gathered? Remember the 12? He's speaking to them. This message is really not just for the disciples, but it's first that he's talking to them. Then Luke offers four words of blessing. Blessings for the poor, the hungry, those who weep, and all who are hated because of their faith in Jesus. And then he offers the woes. For the rich, the well-fed, those who laugh, and those who are spoken well of. We're more familiar with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:7. While it's clear that the sermon in Luke is significantly shorter than the one in Matthew, there is another notable contrast. In Matthew 5, Jesus on the mountain, resembling a new Moses. In Luke, he ascends from the mountain alone to pray, but descends to the level among the people. Individuals from Judah, Jerusalem, Tyre, and Sidon. Most likely Jews and Gentiles to teach them about the kingdom of God. If I ask you to recall some of Jesus' Beatitudes, you might respond with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for their kingdom of heaven, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And you'd be correct if you were quoting from Matthew. However, in Luke's account, Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled. No matter how hard we try, and as much as we may wish to, you just can't spiritualize that. The Beatitudes in Luke, you see, Jesus is genuinely addressing the poor and the hungry. Not only does Jesus speak on the plain, but he speaks plainly. We can rely on Jesus to be ultimately on our level, with every step on the way, sharing the truth about our lives as he sees us. We understand this truth only through our involvement in a community, the community of lifetime partnerships, the community of families, the community of this fellowship, the communities of those who pray and discuss the scriptures together, the communities of service, and the communities of mutually committed members. The sermon seems directed at the disciples rather than the assembly or the crowd, but they are listening. Pastorally, this highlights that the sermon's very nature, values, and ethics are not meant to serve as a moral code that binds society in its broadcast and broadest sense. Instead, it is intended for those who have committed to follow Jesus. That includes you and me, as well as the disciples. Meeting this sermon demands us to rely on divine grace, not our personal efforts. Our ability to fulfill those demands comes through grace and the Spirit's empowered. What does it mean to be blessed? Is it about being lucky or fortunate? When people compliment our home or family and we might say, "Oh, I'm very blessed." Or what about the person who says to you, "Have a blessed day"? What does that mean? Maybe it's a way of telling others that you're a believer. What does blessed signify? Does it imply that God has shown us kindness? That God has bestowed upon us blessings and gifts? Or does it suggest that we have it better than others? Are we blessed? Perhaps it means that God favors us. In the time of Jesus, blessings were considered a direct indication of divine favor, believed to be obtained through righteous living. This was viewed as a straightforward cause and effect relationship. Wealth, health, and happiness were seen as rewards of being virtuous, whereas poverty, hunger, grief, and hatred were perceived as consequences of one's wrongdoing. Does that make you feel uncomfortable? That our God would be this way? For instance, let's think about Job. You know, he lost everything. His friends questioned what he had done to deserve such misfortune, suggesting that he must have greatly displeased God. And God referred to their advice as words without knowledge and condemned it, and it incited anger. While the elite, the wealthy, the religious, the powerful looked upon this suffering crowd with disdain, Jesus descended from the mountain and stood among them on their level. He attended to their physical ailments and cured for their wounded selves. Then, in a truly radical statement, he pronounced them blessed. To be blessed is to receive God's blessing in such an overwhelming way that you experience peace and joy. To be blessed is to receive God's blessing in such an overwhelming way that you experience peace and joy. It's often a gift. We can't earn it. It's not like it's given to you in response of the coins you pay or the deeds that you've done. It's just given to you. You don't have to fake it. It's not a burden, but it changes how we look at everything. Reverend John Castle, a rector at St. Mary's Church in the United Kingdom, shares these thoughts, and I agree with him. When Jesus looked up and said, "Blessed are you who are poor," he also referred to those who had come not only for healing, but also to hear the good news of God. That's why they were blessed. All of us here this morning are hearing the good news of God. And if we do not feel blessed as a result, then I challenge you to think about what our lives would be like if we hadn't heard of God. If we hadn't had Christ in our lives, knowing the joy we experience from knowing Him and having a loving relationship with Him. Before I continue, there is an issue I need to address. Jesus looked up and said, "Blessed are you who are poor." He did not say, "Blessed are the poor." "Blessed are you who are poor." He did not say, "Blessed are the poor." Jesus looked up at the crowd, saw poor people, and blessed them. In the same way, in verse 24, Jesus said, "But woe to you who are rich." Woe is the opposite of blessed. If you think you know everything you need to know about Jesus, woe to you. If you believe you are okay, you don't need anything from Him, woe. Why did He say that? He said it because the rich weren't there. They were perhaps too proud to come and mix with the poor people and listen to an upstart carpenter from Nazareth. So Jesus said, "Woe to you rich people, because you will not hear the good news." Jesus was not saying that all poor people will be blessed and all rich people will not be blessed. That was not His point. Jesus taught that everyone who hears and receives the good news will be blessed. Whether rich or poor, those who do not hear the good news of Christ, regardless of their wealth, will miss out on the blessing. We might be poor. We might be hungry. We might be sad. We might be rejected in this world in our current circumstances. But because of the hope we have in Jesus by faith, because we're saved, because we're blessed, it doesn't matter. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us and gives us hope. We can take anything this world has to dish out because we know all the pain and suffering of this world is temporary. He promises that in our eternal future in the kingdom of God, we will have everything we need. We will sit at the table, eat our fill of good food, laugh with our friends, and lead for joy. As we approach the Lenten season and reflect on the significance and cost of Jesus' ministry and death, I invite you to engage with these Beatitudes from this Sermon on the Plain. While we may not all agree on everything, discussing who we are and what we are called to do as God's people will surely enrich our lives and strengthen our community of ministry. Amen.